Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. This is our big Super Bowl party. We're drinking tea, lemon tea. And a word about our show, since we've come over here to our new studios, we've picked up a few new affiliates. Just a word about the show. There's a line I like to quote from the movie Chinatown where, Noah Cross is saying to Jake Gittes, that is John Huston saying to Jack Nicholson, you may think you know what's going on, but you don't. Well, that's our show. You may think you know, but you really don't. And the other thing that it will become painfully obvious is that we don't let calls run this show. We run the calls. Now, I've been in talk radio long enough to have learned that talk show callers, for the most part, suck. And I don't mean any offense, but they just do. They suck. They're dull. They think they're funny. They're not. They try to be witty. Most of the times, they're not. Try to be informative, et cetera, et cetera. It's a painful exercise to hear it. So what we do on our show is we use the calls that come in the way we want to use them, and we use them to our advantage, and we manipulate them, and we stretch them and twist them, and we do whatever we want with them to turn them into something remotely entertaining. Because talk show callers on their own bore the living crap out of everybody within 600 square miles. Now, you may say the same thing about your average talk show host, and you may say the same thing about me, but the point that I like to make is I can bomb on my own. I don't need any help from anybody. So if we're stiffing and if we're stinking it out, we might as well stink it out on our own, because we sure don't need no talk show caller calling up and laying a few eggs with us. That's what we do on this show. Does it sound hostile? No, because we love our listeners. And that's who we do our show for, our listeners. We don't do it for callers. Callers, we use you. We'll use you, abuse you, misuse you, and then toss you away like this styrofoam cup with this rotten lemon tea bag in it. And that's how it goes. And there are a lot of things that particularly, I'm not going to tell you what to say on the air, and my screener doesn't tell you what to say on the air. We generally dispense with all the hi, how are yous, and everything else. But you want to do that? That's fine, great, whatever. I don't care. The first-time caller, long-time listener, that's great. Whatever you want to do, but be forewarned that you're not going to run this show. We run you. It's not something that I hope is going to happen. It's something that does happen. And continues to happen, and has always happened, and there's nothing you can do about it. We run you. We make you sound the way we want you to sound. And it's all for the benefit of the greater listening audience out there, who deserve some kind of original entertainment, which is exactly what we provide each and every night here on the Phil Henry Show. Now, speaking of Anchorage, we got some calls from people up there who said we're not all assholes, and I wasn't intimating that you were. Forgive me. I just said that the very first call that we got from up there happened to be from one, but we are very grateful for your affiliation, KADX Anchorage, Alaska, and we're happy to talk about you, and we're one of these days we want to go up there and do a CD signing or hunt moose. I don't know. One of these days I'd like to go up there and either do a CD signing or hunt moose. You want to hunt moose? You know what it's like hunting? Volkswagens. That's what a guy told me one time. It's like hunting moose. He said it's like hunting a Volkswagen. So we got the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, and I sat here and I regaled my good buddy Mike Schaefer with my knowledge of the Super Bowl. As crazy as it is, I know the result of every single Super Bowl ever played. I know who won, and I know who played. And it's just a thing. I mean, I grew up, my old man played pro ball in Canada. Here's something a lot of you may not know. Some of you already know this, some of you don't. My father played pro ball in Canada, so I grew up in a house that enjoyed football. And I played a little in high school. I sucked. But I got to love the game so much. I like to watch it, and it's very male. It's very colorful. It's very arena-esque. It's a coliseum, a modern-day Roman gladiator-style spectacle. It's very television-friendly. It has all those marvelous colors and all those great gladiator uniforms with the big T for Titans and the horns for the Rams, and it's TV-friendly, and it's violent, and yet there is a level of finesse. So it's all of the things that people like to watch. I mean, what people who say they don't understand the appeal of football, those are the people that I wonder about, because they haven't thought too much about it. And by the way, these anti-Super Bowl parties, boy, are those old. We're having an anti-Super Bowl party. Does anybody care? We're not going to go watch the Super Bowl. We're going to have an anti-Super Bowl party. What a yawn. What are you going to? So if you're not watching the Super Bowl, what are you going to have, man? Like a fashion show? What's going to be going on? Roller boogie? All the good-looking chicks, man, and all the best bands, they all watch the Super Bowl, so you ain't going to have none of that. You go to the most happening place on earth, Las Vegas, Nevada. What's ruling the roost out there? Sports! Sport. What do you think it's going to be like there in the Caesars Sportsbook on Sunday? Oh, baby. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be packed. Go across the street there to the old Barnaby Coast. Go over there to the Barnaby Jones. Go over to the Barbary Coast. Watch all those croupiers getting their asses kicked there at the sports book before they go to work. So it'll be a lot of fun. And I look forward to it. And I like it. And, you know, may the best team win. Although it will be the Tennessee Titans. You can mark my words on that. Why? Because I know those Rams only too well. And, yes, I know there is such a thing as getting the onus off. Yes, I know there is such a thing as getting the curse off your back. And, you know, the third time's the charm or whatever you want to say. The Rams ain't got it. Even in St. Louis, they don't have it. They're the Rams. First, last, and always. You know, when the Dodgers moved to L.A., at least they were winning some ball games in Brooklyn, right? So they kind of continued the tradition out in L.A. The Rams going to St. Louis, they're just carrying the same stink with them. All it is just like a whole lot of dead cats along the road to St. Louis from L.A., man. A whole lot of wilted flowers just... What's that? Rams went by. It's Phil Henry Show here. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Not that we're taking any calls tonight, but just in case Schaefer gets in the mood, there's the number, 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, like I was saying, the wife is going to put together some of her chili. Now, this is New Mexico chili. I don't know what it is, but it's got pork in it, it's got beef in it, it's got all kinds of stuff that sets fire to every region of the body. Every portion that it passes through, it's a searing, painful experience. It's like the Spanish Inquisition. In fact, that's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it the Spanish Inquisition because it tortures every region of your body as it passes through. It tastes good, but then after that, the hell begins, you know? So she's going to make this stuff. Now, I know that there are a lot of very dear friends where we live listening, and I, again, I don't mean any offense. Some very dear friends and some people that, you know, we're going to be, frankly, glad to be moving away from, but mostly dear friends. And by the way, I'd like to say that my next-door neighbors are great people, Jamie and Roy and Barbara. You guys are great, okay? It's the rest of those jackasses on the street, but I digress. The guys at the guard gate, by the way, said that, right on, Phil. Remember when I was ranting and raving Monday night about those clowns? The guys at the guard gate are all like, yeah! I don't want to say anything, Phil, but we've got a pack of assholes living. I'm kidding. They didn't say that. Not much. So, you're going to get some of that really crappy chili. And it's like, have you ever seen someone eat something and their mouth is kind of half open? Just, God. Like they're looking for some place to spit it. That's what I'm afraid is going to happen. I don't know. It might be okay. So anyway, Maria makes this stuff. And then she takes that cayenne pepper and she grounds it up into fine powder and she throws that in there. Then she throws in some of those Scotch bonnet peppers. And the next thing you know, you're in hell. Hell. You're in hell, otherwise known as a hospital. What's the whole story with hot food? Why do people, is that, it's kind of like drinking tequila. In other words, if you can slam it down, you must be a tequila drinker. And if you can eat hot food, you're some kind of a man. Did I ever tell you I walked into a restaurant once in Minneapolis, Minnesota? Some clown walks in with a big cowboy hat on, and it was a Sri Lankan place. Now, if you've ever had Sri Lankan food, you know this is the hottest food on earth. It's hotter than anything Mexican. It's hotter than anything. Sri Lankan food. Sri Lankan food is Indian food, only seafood. And they throw a lot of scotch bonnet habanero style peppers in it. It's just blisteringly, blazingly hot. This guy walks in, tall drink of water with a big cowboy hat and some cowboy boots. Must have been from Texas or some crap like that. California, some joint like that. He says, well, hell, this ain't nothing but pansy food. I can eat, you know. And he grabs the big bowl of peppers that they got. And he leans down to take a sniff. And this stuff snorts right up into his sinuses, those red-hot Italian-style peppers, only it's 50 times hotter, 50 times more radiation. It's like sucking radiation. He didn't just snort peppers. This guy snorted plutonium that was, like, very unstable, right up into his... And the guy, well, I left before he came out of the... They said it was hours before he came out of the bathroom. He went in there irrigating his nose, his ass. He walked in, he was throwing his clothes off as he was running to the men's room. He had to bring somebody in there to irrigate his ass for it. He was in bad shape, man. The guy was literally running into the bathroom, throwing off his hat, his boots, his shirt. And this was this Sri Lankan stuff. And then they give you this mango drink. It's like a yogurt drink. Because they say if you're eating hot stuff, what you need is fat, for some reason, fat to cut the heat. So they give you this yogurt drink. Well, they don't give you enough of it because I can suck down, like, it's a pretty good-sized yogurt drink, but I'm having this Sri Lankan stuff, which is 68 alarm stuff, and I eat it, and the yogurt drink, it's like a thimble. I need more yogurt drink. And, you know, of course, you're waiting for the girl with the long Singapore, you know, the Singapore air skirt with the beautiful face, and she's walking by with trays full of this stuff. And I said, I got to get a yogurt, please. Give me another yogurt. Please give me. How'd you like Steve Bozell tonight crying to his attorney? So, you know, the yogurt drink is about, what, 6 ounces. And I sucked that thing down. I got to have more. I got to go back up to this joint. It's called the Sri Lanka. It's on Hennepin in Minneapolis. It's like nothing you've ever had, I guarantee. And why I go in there, I don't know why, man. I go in basically for nourishment. I want to eat and enjoy. I don't want to go in and live through the pain of like a voyage with Captain freaking Bly. Just go in and eat and enjoy, you know. But that's me. I don't hear no alarm going off, do you?
I'll make that 5 alarm, Chili. Hell, they'll burn the hair right off the crack area. I make a chili. What's it called? Hell is in my ass. Lord help me. Hell has come alive in my ass, Chili. And I'll tell you, it's delicious.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like a great experience. It's just wonderful. Hey, Phil, yeah? How'd you like the flesh to hang off the roof of your mouth? Oh, yeah, sounds great. Have some of my chili. My wife walked in the other night. She says, the inside of my mouth is blistered. I said, well, I know one thing that you had in your mouth. What was the... No, I'm kidding. I said, so what was... She goes, it was the, you know, some kind of hot crap that we ate. I forget what. So anyway, that's going to be on Sunday, and we're looking forward to it, and like all that stuff there. Oh, man, I'm getting down. This cold has finally grabbed me. I said I wouldn't get it, but I got it. Give me another one of those lozenges. That sucks. I've spent 6 months telling everybody that I know they are not only pansy, but bad. There's bad physical and just a bad physical and mental hygiene going on in your house. All you guys getting these colds, you don't know what I know. 6 months telling everybody that I know what a pack of pansies they were, coming down with this death flu that had everybody on their back, 186-degree temperatures. I mean, they're all messed up. And now I got it. With a half hour to go in this thing tonight. Well, I'm a very proud Latino, so I'll make it through. It sucks. You know, there's two things in this world I don't get. One of them is the American Cancer Society. How long have they been around? Long time, right? Do we still have cancer? Yes, we do. The other thing is this so-called cure for the common cold. How long we had that? How long we had doctors? How long we had all this crap? They can't cure no common cold. I'm very suspicious, even more so than I've ever been, of the medical establishment. Why don't you guys just go ahead and set my broken leg, take out my appendix when it's about to rupture, give me that big open heart, whatever it is that I need, quintuple bypass, do the David Letterman on me, but save all that protective and preventative crap for the people who know something about it, which is nobody. I think I know more than you guys, though. I got a damn cold, and I know more about preventing disease than the average jack-off doctor. I ain't giving no more money to the American Cancer Society until you guys start curing some cancer, okay? Fair enough? Good. Every year I get those little stickers that I put on my envelope. Mr. and Mrs. Phil Hendry, Westlake Village. Little sticker you put on the upper left-hand side of the envelope that makes you look like you're 85 years old. I put those up there from the American Cancer Society. I ain't giving you guys any more money. You got to start curing some stinking cancer around here, okay? And I ain't putting them stickers on my envelope because I don't want to look like my Aunt Agnes.
Hello, this is Agnes. Let me put the little sticker.
Every time I get an envelope with one of those on there, I figure it's got to be from my Aunt Gladys or Aunt Agnes or somebody. So, you know, I'm looking for that Toronto postmark. And I'm always getting letters from Craig Taylor. He's got that stuff on there. What are you, man? You're rollerblading to work and you got the little Craig Taylor. Phil Hendry here, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Let me see here. Okay, there's that. Now, I can't move this selector around at all on the DigiCart. The big RC220 remote, man. It ain't moving. I'm on Find Cut?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's loops. Gunplay, leaf blower. This is just... answer tone. Let me hear this. Okay, so what do I hit? Play? Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anything.
Try it again.
Which one is it? It's two.
Oh, not DigiCart. There it is.
Okay. I apologize, folks, that this show tonight is just me messing with the equipment. No, it's not fast enough. Let's see. San Antonio, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, I've been living in San Antonio for about 3 years now.
How do you like it?
I used to live in Fort Lauderdale. And it's
How'd you like that?
I love Fort Lauderdale, but since I moved here because my wife lives here, I like it. I like it.
Do you like it there?
But,
your wife is from there. Her business took you there?
Nah, I just kind of like met her over the telephone, fell in love, and came over here.
Oh, really? Did it work out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where'd you meet her on the phone?
What's that?
Where'd you meet her on the phone?
It was some party line. It was a long time ago.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah, and but when I used to listen to you and Neil Rogers on WIOD.
In Miami, we're on WINZ now.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that.
Yeah.
But I remember you talking about being a Minnesota Vikings fan and an LA Rams fan.
Well, I was. I liked the Vikings. I liked the Dolphins, but, you know, they have had problems. So I decided I'd go with the there's three teams. I like the Dolphins because I lived in Miami. I like the Vikings because I lived up there. Mm-hmm. And I like the Rams because I grew up with them.
Right.
Notice I didn't say the Atlanta Falcons, even though I lived there for a year. Because there's just some lines that a man draws and he won't, you know, there's just some depths that some people will not sink to.
Of course.
And one of them is being an Atlanta Falcon fan. So I, and I don't mean any offense to any Falcon fans. So I became a Viking fan because I remembered them. Hello?
Yeah.
I think you have a call. You want to go ahead and take that.
I'm not going to answer that because I got a question.
So anyway, I got to be a Viking fan as a result of that, yeah.
Right. That's good. I was a Chicago Bear fan, too. I was born in Chicago. But what I wanted to ask you was, Red McCombs owns the Minnesota Vikings.
Red who?
Red McCombs.
Uh-huh.
He's based down here. He's got car dealerships down here in San Antonio.
Doesn't he own the Spurs?
Yeah, he owns the Spurs. Well, he did own the Spurs, but he sold them to a guy named Holt.
Okay.
And he built the Alamo Dome down here. And he built that hoping that an NFL franchise was going to come down here.
Oh, yeah?
Now, he owns the Minnesota Vikings, and I happen to think everybody thinks down here that he's going to be moving them down here to San Antonio.
Oh, yeah?
What do you
get
think about
that freaking call, will you?
I'm sorry.
What do I think about what?
What do you think about that?
About what?
Moving the Minnesota Vikings that have been there for years and years and years down here to San Antonio.
Well, do I think it's right that a team uproot itself and leave? I don't know. You know, there's the reality of sports, and then there's what we all wish it was. And we all wish it was tradition, and we all wish it was longevity. And for some, you know, people who, you know, honor sport, it is. And for others who, you know, don't, it's not. And the Vikings, I'll give you a hint, the Vikings never sold out a playoff game.
No, they never did.
They never sold out a playoff game when they were outdoors in Bloomington. So they built them a dome stadium. You know, and I guess they don't have enough luxury boxes, or there just ain't enough money because it's not a big market.
Right.
But I don't know, you know, what makes them think that this is San Antonio is going to be much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, but hey, have at it, man. It probably will be. Nobody thought that Nashville was a hockey town.
That's for sure.
But I think, you know, the Vikings, if they're not selling out any playoff games in Minnesota because they were outdoors, so they moved indoors, and it's not really that much of a football town. As a matter of fact, Minneapolis isn't much of a sports town other than basketball.
Right.
Basketball is huge in Minneapolis. Baseball isn't. Hockey, they had a pro hockey team. They could care less. They prefer college hockey up there. It's a weird thing about that state.
Huh.
They're a hockey state, but they like college. They don't like pro. The only thing that they've embraced for many, many years that they seem to really enjoy is basketball.
Oh, yeah?
You know, the Timberwolves will always, I think, do well there. So let the Vikings move. I don't care. And take your phone call.
And wait, one more question. How come it is that, I think you're great. I think your radio show is fantastic. I've always loved it. But how come you got syndicated and Neil Rogers never did, and he tried all?
I don't know who Neil's doing business with, and I don't know who he's talking to. And one time, a long time ago, before I left Miami, I made the big mistake of suggesting to him that he move on to bigger and better things, and he got angry at me for interfering in his career and sticking my nose where it didn't belong. And so I made up my mind that I would never again, you know, advise him or, you know, bother him with bigger dreams than the ones that he's got, if those are the ones that he wants to have.
Right.
You know what? I don't know who he's doing business with. Obviously, if he really wants to get syndicated, then he has to do business with people who can do it right and not promise him a whole bunch of crap. I happen to be with a good company, Premier Radio. This company couldn't be any better. So anyway, take your phone call.
Hey, best of luck.
Bug off. Thanks a lot for helping out with the phone call.
Thank you.
We'll see you later. Okay. That's how we say goodbye to our callers on the Phil Henry Show. Bug off. This is a great company. I don't know what Neil's doing. No, you guys don't know who I'm talking about, but he was kind of a mentor to me and a great, great talent. And he's still on the air in Miami. And yeah, he ought to be syndicated. And will he ever be? I don't know. If he wants to be, yes, he will be. If he really wants to be and wants to go and do all the stuff that you got to do. Syndicated radio, for me, was the only place that I could go. It was the only answer to my career. I had to do it. I had to get the thing up on the satellite and get syndicated to a whole bunch of other towns. You want to know why? Because my show's that good. I had grown beyond the tethers of the mere market that I was in. I wanted to do something larger, so we did it. I can't help it if other shows blow. We got a show here that's kind of unique, and so we do what we have to do. So we went into business with a great company, the Premier Radio People, and we're on at KFI in Los Angeles and KADX in Anchorage, my two most valued affiliates, KADX Anchorage and WNFL Green Bay. And other than that, the rest of them could all rot. As long as I'm on an Anchorage in Green Bay, I'm a happy man. Ain't WNFL the Packer station? You better believe it. Don't they have Packers Sunday? Oh, yeah. Ain't no football up there these days. My wife, by the way, just got done reading the Vince Lombardi biography, which as soon as I got done with the Elijah Muhammad biography, I'm going to pick up that Vince Lombardi. Somehow I think the Vince Lombardi one is going to be a little bit more uplifting than reading about Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. And if you ever put on the Irish tenors again, I'm going to kill you, bud.
Yeah, no.
I'll kill you. My wife's reading the biography of Vince Lombardi. My wife, who used to be a football fan, but ain't much of one now, but is kind of getting back into it, and she's reading about Lombardi, and she's asking me, get a load of this. She says to me, well, I was reading a part of the book where, I don't know, who the hell is this guy, Alex Karras? I never heard of him, so I skipped that paragraph. I said, what do you mean you skipped that paragraph? Yeah, I skipped that. And then they were talking about some bum named Frank Gifford. I don't know who the hell he is. I skipped that paragraph, too. I said, do you read books or are you just skipping paragraphs? Hell, man, if I read the way you read, I'd be reading 16 books a week. This is my wife. I skipped that paragraph because I don't know. I said, well, how could you skip a paragraph? Why do I need to know, she says to me, about some creep by the name of Johnny Blood or Frank Gifford? Who's he to me? I said, it's part of the story. I don't need to read that. I skipped a paragraph. Hey, while you're at it, Maria, why don't you skip that whole chapter there on, George Halas? You don't need that. It's about Vince Lombardi. So anyway, she's talking about Vince Lombardi to me. Vince Lombardi got his head coaching job with the Green Bay Packers. You know how old he was? He had been an assistant coach. He'd been kicking around. They named the freaking trophy after this guy, okay? That's how big Vince Lombardi was. This guy had been kicking around. He was an assistant at West Point. He was an assistant with the New York Giants. You know how old he was when he finally got his big break? 46. You know how old I was when I got my syndicated show? 47. Talk about being at the right place, the right time, with the right tool. And I don't have the Green Bay sweep. But I got Bud Dickman, the Green Bay sweep of radio.
Yeah, you like me.
Jesus. I had no idea you were standing there, Bud, and you could hear what I was saying.
You like it.
So that guy went out 46, he went out, he won 5 NFL championships. Well, that's exactly the way this is going to go. That's exactly the game plan I have for my life and career. 47, I get syndicated. We're doing a radio show here that, people can't knock me for my age because this thing is hipper than half the crap that's out there by guys half my freaking age. That's the scary part about it. Some old freaking man, some far-out old man on the radio is doing a show hipper than half the stuff out there by guys in their 20s. Now, what has happened to this culture? Anyway, it's Phil Henry here at 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to, it's Green Bay. Hello.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Hi.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a real honor talking to you. I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I heard you talking about my town. I wanted to call up and just give you kudos from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's... I love it here.
Well, yeah, I was talking about Green Bay, and my wife's reading Vince Lombardi's wonderful biography, When Pride Still Mattered.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, he was real big up here. There's no getting around that fact. I can get up every morning, and, you know, there's one sure, clear reality to my day, and that's that Vince Lombardi was big here. And I can't get away from that. But
it sounds like you want to.
No. I'm a diehard Packer fan, and it wasn't always like that. I guess the reason what got me to call your radio show tonight is that one time I thought I was better than Green Bay.
Better than Green Bay?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how?
Well, you know, I wanted to leave, and I wanted to go and see the big world, you know, all the things that a boy will do. And I went to Milwaukee, and I got into some trouble down there. I always wanted to go down and see Milwaukee, and I left Titletown and, you know, got into a little bit of trouble. That was during the Dahmer deal. I don't know if you were familiar with that.
Oh, yeah, that was the big news. Jeffrey Dahmer, huh?
Yeah. I was living in the same apartment building, and, you know, I'm not saying that I admired the guy or anything. I don't want to say that, but I thought, you know, I hung out, and...
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, I'm gay.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I went to a lot of the same bars and everything that he did, but I represent a good cross-section here in Green Bay. We have a gay population, and we...
Do you guys, so what is there, like a gay part of Green Bay?
Yeah, there is. And we have a newspaper, and so we try to do what we can. But I that's not really why I called. The reason why I called is to say that I enjoy Green Bay now. And my.
So you left your hometown and you went to Milwaukee and, you know.
Yeah, I thought I was better than them. I thought I was, you know, better than them. And now I know I'm not. I'm just another fella.
And you're gay.
I'm oh yeah, you betcha. I'm as gay as you. It doesn't get any gayer than me.
Living in Green Bay. It's funny, you know, the gay people that I know, and by the way, I'm not going to be one of these guys that says my gay friends, because I don't know that I have any gay friends. I not that I wouldn't want to have a gay friend, but I guess my life has become a little insular. But most young gay people who grow up in a small town tend to leave and go to a big town.
Right. Well, I did completely the opposite, Phil. You see, I realized that I was gay. And I went to Milwaukee because I wanted to see the big life, the big nightlife and everything. And I said, well, this is not for me. I wanted to go home, and I did. And so I'm part of, you know, the small gay population we have here.
What do you, I mean, is there a community?
Oh, yeah, we have a gay pride deal that we put off, and, you know, we have activities.
How many gay people are there in Green Bay? I mean, that's a hard question to answer.
That's a hard question to answer. I probably about, I don't know. I know I probably, there's me, a guy by the name of Jim Llewellyn.
Wait a minute. Don't give me names, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. My question is, how many gay people would you say there are, gay men and lesbians, are there in Green Bay?
Yeah, well, I'd have to... there's me, there's 12, 15, I don't know, there's probably about 15 or 16 of us.
And 15 or 16?
Yeah, that's the ones that I'm aware of.
15 or so, how many people are in Green Bay?
Oh, you know, a few tens of thousands of people.
Well, then how can there be 15 or 16?
Only the ones that I've met. Okay.
Well, then there's got to be more. Just because you've only met 15 or 16, there has to be more. Look, I don't want to get into a whole thing here. I just, I appreciate your call.
Well, I'm calling up to stick up for my hometown. It's wonderful. We like listening to you here. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I heard you mentioning Vince Lombardi, and that's good enough for me. He was a great man and had some great ball clubs. And
did you ever get out to see the Pack play?
No, I didn't. I you know, I just...
What else did you do growing up? Well, look, I'm going to let you go, okay?
No, I please don't hang up.
Well, I have to go, okay?
Well, you know, I just wanted to talk to someone, that's all. And
I got to go, though.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you more about the gay population.
No, I have to go. I'm sorry. What is the matter?
Well, I just didn't want to... I didn't want it to end.
You didn't want what to end?
Our conversation, that's all. Okay.
I'm sorry. It's time for me to go, all right?
Can I make a request?
Sure.
It's an old Green Bay Packer favorite. Diamonds Are Forever, Shirley Bassey.
An old Green Bay Packer favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I wear a lumberjack costume, but I like diamonds. Like
diamonds
any.
Are forever.
Oh, they're all, Christ, it's good.
They are all I need to please me.
Bye.
Bye.
They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever. Hold one up and then caress it. Touch it, stroke it, and undress it. I can see every part. Nothing hides in the heart to hurt me.
Bill.
You're diverting from the attention.
Diamonds are forever. Sparkling round my little finger. Unlike men, the diamonds linger. Men are mere mortals who are not worth going to your grave for. I don't need.
Ty was just slapping his dog instead of getting some nookie.
You should come to my house and see the way I eat.
Are you down with the gay or not?
I'm totally just ignoring that comment.
Phil Hendry.